You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You had better get in the heck up. It's Friday on B&E. That is right. Friday ahead of the best NFL weekend of the year. There are only 7 NFL games left. 4 of them are this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday. We will certainly preview, and you better get ready to enjoy them because they're dwindling, but they're the best games of the year. We're looking forward to a divisional playoff weekend on tap, including the Cowboys and Niners, to wrap it all up on Sunday evening. We'll dive in head first there. Got a big college basketball weekend as well. Recruiting in the college football ranks continues to be a top story. We'll get you details. Great game in the NBA last night. Some college hoops as well as we dive in on a Friday morning. 20th of January, going to be a beauty today. Actually, a little cloudy today. No chance for rain, but about a 10% chance, but a little cloudy and overcast today. Had a lot of sunshine this weekend. Should be a great one as we crank this thing up on a Friday morning. 4 hours of fun and conversation and hot takes, as we say, begin right now here on 104.9. Maybe 101.9 is where you listen on the FM dial, AM 1260. And we make it very easy for you to find us digitally, streaming on our Horn app. Always take us wherever you go, always from your home or office on your smart speaker, and always Mr. Godbolt at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much for the great job that you do. We do appreciate it, and we appreciate it each and every day. And as he said, going to be a nice day today. Tomorrow will be sunshine, possibility of a little bit of rain tomorrow. Sunday's going to be gorgeous. And then we started to dip down just a little bit.
Get back to some winter forecast.
Yeah, a little bit. Some 30s at night, but not freezing, 38, 39. You know, but it'll be cool in the evenings and some daytime highs in the 60s. But ain't nothing wrong with that in January.
We'll take it. Speaking of the men and women at Fort Hood, Texas, who we appreciate each and every day, we talked yesterday to Cammy Irwin and the Austin Spurs. Free tickets tonight. If you want to go to the Austin Spurs game, they're having a great military appreciation night for a great foundation and organization that she organized. And as we found out from her yesterday, if you are a current member of the military or former, you can go to the Austin Spurs game tonight at HEB Center at Cedar Park absolutely free. Just contact go to the website there or contact the Spurs. And get that thing going. You can also, they'll give you tickets for your family, too. Not just you.
Get but four more
to be at the game tonight. Austin Spurs in action in D-League basketball, or G-League basketball, I should say. So keep that in mind. We do appreciate you each and every day and this Friday morning with a lot to do. It's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be a might want to get your exercise in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Get your steps in. Get that cranking. Unless your steps are going to come from your couch to your refrigerator on Saturday and Sunday, because as we say, there are only 7 NFL games left. We, you know, once the Super Bowl comes and goes, we'll wait all offseason through all the drama and the moves for another season to begin, and we're winding down the weekends, my friend.
Yes.
We've got 4 games this weekend, 2 next weekend, then the off week, then the Super Bowl. So crank this thing up and get ready for tremendous games. Are we fair to say that the best 2 games are both Sunday? I mean, as far as what we expect to see, now everything can change when the ball is snapped and the ball is kicked off. But when the Bengals and Bills and Cowboys Niners seem like the best 2 matchups, and both could be classics. Both have so many subplots to them. Game seemed very even. And then, of course, on Saturday, you've got Jaguars, Chiefs, Giants, Eagles, both top seeds coming off bye weeks against teams that, you know, Giants are a 6 seed, Jaguars, you know, a 500 team in the regular season out of the AFC South. Am I right on that? The best two games are Sunday?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't feel good for the Jaguars. I feel like they may just get run over.
Might.
By the Chiefs.
They very well might. And I think the Eagles may be ready to pound the Giants. I mean, I know you're a little more optimistic for the New York football Giants than I, but Eagles coming off a bye week with a healthy Jalen. I saw yesterday where the Eagles have only one player on their injury list at all. And they knew Avante Maddox, their nickel corner, wouldn't play. They've known that all along. So one player. They're healthy. They're fresh off the bye week. And they know the Giants very, very well. Let's hope.
Emotions will run high in Buffalo.
Oh yeah.
But how long is that going to be before Josh Allen decides to give it to the other guys?
Saw yesterday where we talked about the Bengals being a little bit miffed about having to play this game in Buffalo. Why isn't this a neutral site game as well, as the NFL handled that with the AFC Championship game? How about this? Some of the Bengals miffed that the NFL is apparently already selling tickets to a game that may not happen. Because if the Bills win this game and the Chiefs win, they're going to play in Atlanta in the AFC Championship game next weekend. Part of the deal they reached, because they didn't play that Monday Night Football game because of the DeMar Hamlin situation. So, yeah, Bengals got word that, they're already selling tickets. Now, NFL's just trying to get ahead of the game here a little bit, just in case. But Bengals are taking that as a slight. Now, that game may not happen, so don't be selling your tickets.
Bengals need some offensive line play.
Bengals need O-line play. Bengals need to run the football. And, of course, the Bills need Josh Allen to stop turning the football over. But, if you go back to the start of the season, back in August in the preseason and everything going on, remember, Buffalo was the heavy, heavy favorite for a lot of people. They were my pick to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. A lot of people's pick odds favorites out of the Vegas. Kansas City has kind of overtaken that as the top seed. But I still think the Bills have every opportunity if they can.
But the hot team really is Cincinnati, are they not? Are they not the
every team's hot. Said it all week. The combined four teams in the AFC are on a 28-game winning streak. Everybody's on hadn't lost in more than a month. Bengals are on a 9-game winning streak. The Bills have won 8 or 7 in a row. Chiefs and Jaguars are both on more than month-long winning streaks. So, that has to come to an end.
I guess I don't feel good for the teams that have offensive line woes this late in the season.
You're right
about
that.
You don't have two or three games to get it together.
Well, especially for a team like the Bengals, who are on the road in Orchard Park, knowing that crowd's going to be hostile, the crowd noise, you've got, three backups playing offensive line communication, that can become a factor. And, of course, the defense has a half a step because of the noise and the crowd, and you've got to go to silent counts.
That's what I feel about
counts.
The Cowboys, too, just so late in the year to have offensive line problems.
Jason Peters likely to not play. Now, that for the Cowboys, they've been dealing with that all year long, kind of shifting things. And, yeah, there's no question for the Cowboys with Tyler Smith, the rookie, going to have to head out back out to left tackle. Connor McGovern, who was playing fullback last week on Monday night, having to kind of shift back to the guard position with the injury to Jason Peters. Tyron Smith's going to have his hands full with Nick Bosa on the outside. Nick Bosa led the NFL in sacks at 18.5. That's going to be a factor. And, of course, Tyron is learning to play right tackle. He's a Hall of Fame left tackle, but he's still kind of finding his way on the right side if they shuffle that offensive line during the season. So plenty of football to get ready for. Let's start the hour as we do in the show with the headlines, trending topics so you're fully aware as you're up and out on this Friday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with the Longhorns, Texas football news. Yesterday, we told you the big news in the transfer portal world, the Georgia wide receiver A.D. Mitchell had entered the transfer portal on the final day to do so. This morning, Inside Texas, among others, reporting that Mitchell has already made his way to Austin and is currently visiting the 40 acres. 6'4", 190 pounds wide receiver, originally hails from Missouri City, Texas. Helped Georgia to back-to-back national championships, 38 career catches, 560 yards, and 7 touchdowns. His biggest plays have come in the biggest games. He's caught a touchdown pass in each of the Bulldogs' 4 college football playoff games over the last 2 seasons. Also from the recruiting trail, college football, Oklahoma State quarterback Spencer Sanders moving on, of course. He entered the portal a while back. He has announced he's transferring to Ole Miss to join that crowded quarterback room. And in Boulder, Deion Sanders in Colorado have flipped 5-star cornerback Cormani McClain away from the Miami Hurricanes. That gives Deion Sanders his first 5-star recruit as Buffalo's head coach. In the NFL, we mentioned it just now, starting left tackle Jason Peters for the Cowboys missed his second consecutive practice with that hip injury, seeming more and more unlikely he will play in the divisional playoff showdown on Sunday. Cowboys likely to return Tyler Smith to left tackle, Connor McGovern to guard, and they'll go from there. Good news from practice yesterday, Cowboys kicker Brett Maher, according to Yahoo Sports, perfect 6-for-6 on his field goals. That'll give you a little confidence. Of course, he missed an NFL record 4 extra point in Monday night's win over Tampa Bay. Cowboys will need every point on Sunday. They remain a 4-point underdog, according to the odds makers for Sunday afternoon's game. Of course, first game of divisional weekend is tomorrow afternoon, 3:30. Jacksonville at Kansas City. Top-seeded Chiefs are favored by 8.5. Saturday night, Eagles host the Giants. Philly favored by 7.5 there. And on Sunday at 2, it's the Bengals and Bills, which is got the Bills favored by 5. And then Sunday evening, Niners-Cowboys at 5:30. You'll, of course, hear that game live here on the Horn. Yesterday, not a good one for coordinators around the NFL. Byron Leftwich let go at Tampa Bay officially. Vikings fired their defensive coordinator, Ed Donatell. And in Baltimore, the Ravens parted ways with offensive coordinator Greg Roman. At a news conference discussing that move yesterday afternoon, head coach John Harbaugh made it clear that he and the team absolutely plan to have Lamar Jackson as their quarterback moving forward. As a matter of fact, Harbaugh said Jackson will be involved in the search for the new OC. Marquee matchup in the NBA last night in Boston. Celtics outlast Golden State, 121-118 in overtime. That's a rematch of last year's NBA Finals. Celtics have won 8 in a row. They own the league's best record.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
I was watching some of that Celtics-Warriors game, Buck. What a... We know Jason Tatum's a good player, but man, he was spectacular last night. 34 points, 19 rebounds in their win over Golden State. Celtics, this might be their year.
Yeah, they've got some inside presence now.
Al Horford. How old is Al Horford, for crying out loud?
Just a little bit younger than I am.
Just a little bit younger than
just
you.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, he's nasty still underneath that rim, though.
He is. He had 20 points and 10 boards last night. Physical presence. I mean, this is overtime game. Good basketball last night in the NBA. Part of the kind of a slow night in the sports landscape. College basketball, missing our Thursday night football. You know what I'm saying? Because you usually get a college game, get a pro game, got a lot to flip around to. Last night it was a lot of hoops, a lot of hoops and round ball.
This weekend, lots of hoops this weekend for sure.
Yeah, big one for the Longhorns tomorrow in Morgan. They're all big in the Big 12. Rodney Terry and the Horns headed to Morgantown to play Bob Huggins and the West Virginia Mountaineers. That's a 5 o'clock tip tomorrow, right in the middle of the divisional playoffs. Don't forget about the Horns playing the Mountaineers. 5 o'clock, 4:30 pregame here on the Horn for that one. And yeah, it says 1-5 in conference play for West Virginia, but that's a Longhorn. That's going to be a battle, and you got to find ways to win road games. And you know, one thing I was thinking for the Longhorns is for Rodney Terry, you know, you're on the road, you come back home, you got to go back to West Virginia now. The only week of the year you're going to have back-to-back road games all season long. They got to get back to pushing the basketball a little bit. Remember early in the year, the push with Chris Beard and the team was tempo a little bit. The Big 12 is too good in their half-court defense sets to just rely on half-court offense, and you got to push the ball. I'd like to see the Longhorns, with their depth, maybe start pushing the basketball a little bit more and playing a little faster. You down with that?
Yeah, I mean, if they can get the rebound and go, I mean, if their bigs can get rebounds and go, but it's just – they have to scrap. A lot of times they're scrapping for rebounds, so they don't get a lot of fast breaks. You know what I'm saying?
They don't
have anybody clean it off and just let's go. It's always, you know, ball bouncing around a couple times, and they fight to get a lot of rebounds, so they don't get that clear fast break.
And that was one of the things I liked about Texas early, because when they beat Gonzaga. By the way, Gonzaga lost last night. Their 100-game home win streak was snapped. Loyola Marymount beat them last night out there in Spokane. But, you know, Gonzaga in the Creighton game and others, it felt like they were playing faster. And it felt like Marcus Carr was playing off the ball more with Tyrese Hunter and Jabari Rice kind of running the point. I'd like to see them get back to more of that. I thought in the Iowa State game, Marcus was back to kind of controlling the ball.
Well, you get to do that early in the season when you're fresh, and now this conference is starting to wear you down every game.
Well, I mean,
that's
not a fresh thing to get the ball back in a point guard's hands, let Marcus play off of that. Remember back when he was scoring 20-25, he had a 40-point night. I need Marcus off the ball a little bit more against these half-court sets in my mind. Because I just think he's more of a scorer than a point guard. I thought against Iowa State, when they only scored 60-some-odd points, felt like Marcus was kind of controlling the ball, and that's not always good because it, you know, clock dribbles down, and then you're trying to find a shot late in the shot clock.
I do like him off the ball, too. I don't like him to have to bring the ball up the court.
But we'll see. We'll see what adjustments Rodney Terry, Bob Donatell on the offensive side come up with, because Bob Huggins' teams, you know what you're getting, physical, tough. They're going to make it hard-nosed.
They're going to get all the calls, guys.
Well, welcome to the
Because they're going to be the aggressor. I mean, you can say to Texas, you need to be the aggressor on the road after you guys are getting slapped down on the ground the other night, but it's hard in Morgantown. They get all the calls.
Well, the Big 12, too. Longhorn fans aren't real happy. We did get the report yesterday, eyewitness from Craig Way, on the ugly scene in Ames, Iowa, with Dylan Mitchell getting undercut and the dirty play by the kid for Iowa State. Craig made it clear that Rodney Terry never saw the play. Like, he had, because everybody was kind of turning to watch the flow of the play back down the floor.
Yeah, he didn't hear about it until halftime.
Yeah, he didn't see the play until somebody showed it to him on video at the half, and he was irate and was on the phone with the Big 12 conference after the game, because we know that was a call that had to be made. It was a dirty play, and it, you know, for Rodney, you could tell that was a big factor in the game. The Longhorns were up 8 points at the time. If you call that foul, you might go look at it on video, and you might call a flagrant foul right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you go have a look at it, at least blow the whistle, stop play.
You as a coach, if you saw it, you're going to go outside. There's when you're going to get your tee. Somebody's getting teed up. So assistant or somebody, if they see that, they're going to go nuts.
Go crazy. And the team might have come to his aid, too, because they had turned and they were headed back down the floor. So, again, no one saw it. Same point, if the official who's under the basket, whose job it is to call that foul, calls it, that may be a flagrant foul. And so not only might you get, because you're about to have, I mean, Iowa State went down, the kid who undercut him hits a three, and so the 8-point lead becomes five, and the crowd goes crazy. That was Texas had been up 11 in that game, remember, and the momentum, that's when it flipped. Rodney Terry's point would be, wait a second, if you call that foul, which you should do, that's your job, we might be shooting free throws and getting the ball off of a flagrant foul call. We could have stretched that lead back to 10. We know that's bygones at this point, but officials got to do their job.
Yeah, I don't even know if a lot of guys who were actually in the game on the court at that time saw exactly what happened. They looked like they were going up the court.
Yeah, well, because it was all behind the play. It really was. And you know, you would argue for the kid for Iowa State, that's just a dirty play. You kind of know no one's paying attention. Let me undercut this kid. And could have hurt the guy. I mean, Dylan Mitchell.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Could have hurt him. I mean, he's lucky he fell the way he fell and was athletic enough to.
And, of course, Dylan.
Or just luck.
High flyer anyhow. So he's coming from a long way up there. That's unfortunate, but just for folks who didn't hear Craig yesterday, Craig did say Rodney just didn't see it, and then when he did see it, he was irate, and you know that's going to be the long ones. But you're right, you got to expect not to get calls in Morgantown on Saturday afternoon in that basketball game. All right, the Longhorn football news. Is it fair to say the fact that they haven't hired a new wide receivers coach this week would indicate that the Jacksonville Jaguars wide receivers coach,
yeah, they're going to make him an offer that he can't refuse.
Is the choice? I mean, that's been the report from multiple folks that's the guy that Steve Sarkisian is after, and the fact that there were other three or four other candidates, and it was reported that Sark would like to have that wide receivers coach in place before this junior weekend that they're hosting, starting today and into tomorrow. That maybe they're willing to wait to see what happens with the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow in divisional playoffs.
Sure.
If they lose, as you think they will, to the Chiefs, he would become available, and maybe that thing.
See you
get
Monday
done.
Morning.
Because if he put out a tweet, let's just say Chris Jackson, the receivers coach we're talking about, he put out a tweet saying, "Look, I work for the Jaguars. I love my job. The whole thing." But same time, the fact that they haven't moved on to candidate B or C.
Right.
Would indicate they're going to wait on him.
He's still interested.
Yeah.
And they're waiting, yeah.
They're waiting on him. So that is that piece of news. And then, of course, A.D. Mitchell on campus already. He was linked to Texas when he entered the portal on Wednesday, and he's already here, according to Inside Texas and some other reporting. This thing may get done pretty quick.
Well, it could, or unless he has another visit planned for USC, which that ain't close to home, my friend.
Mm-mm.
Where you were is closer than where you're going, if that be the case, because – once again, that last visit, if he goes to USC, then you know what that means.
Well, we saw it with Jordan Addison last year.
Yeah.
And obviously with Jordan Addison leaving USC to go off to the NFL, there's an open spot at receiver there. Texas looking to add an outside receiver as well. And, you know, again, the reporting on this has been, since it's happened, have all said that he wants to get back to Texas. That's part of the deal. We've heard that he's got a young child that lives in Dallas. The mom is there. He'd like to be closer to home, and obviously Texas would be a lot closer than Southern California. So we'll follow that story. According to reports, he's already here. Could there be something that comes down on that from that front for sure? Surprised to see Spencer Sanders at Ole Miss?
Not really.
And Ty, you would know this. Your girlfriend is an Ole Miss fan and graduate.
Don't they like to throw the ball there?
But yeah, but didn't they just get the commitment from the LSU transfer quarterback too?
Yeah, but I don't know if any of those guys are, you know, a standout starter.
So it's going to be open competition.
I think so.
I think that's what they're going for.
They're looking for a 12th-year man.
Did Jackson Dart transfer out?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're Spencer Sanders and you've been playing at Oklahoma State for like 9 years and now you're looking for another spot, that seems like a pretty crowded quarterback room where nothing is guaranteed. And I know you have to compete to earn your spot anywhere you go, but you know, I'm thinking about like Hudson Card, right? Hudson Card did his due diligence and he ended up at Purdue where – you know, he's going to be the starting quarterback at Purdue. I mean, that's going to be, there's really, you know, there'll be other guys there in the quarterback room, but you're transferring into a place where there's already a quarterback and a kid from LSU who was a high recruit. He's transferred in. Obviously, Lane Kiffin wants as many good quarterbacks as he can find. If you're Spencer Sanders, but like
that. Well, he's got to know if he's in the, you know, if he's one or two, he's in the thick of things, will he be used?
And would you go there if you're going to be the two?
Sit around? Depending on, I mean, if Lane Kiffin told them how they're going to use him, you know, they want to, you know, they still want to run the ball because Dart is not the guy they want passing it anyway, but Spencer Sanders can run and pass. I mean, that's, they'd like to probably have a more mobile quarterback that's in his 12th season.
I mean, Judkins is probably going to be one of the top three running backs returning next year.
Quinshon, Judkins, yeah. Well, Jackson Dart's still there, and I know you're not the biggest Jackson Dart fan. You watch a lot of Ole Miss football. He can run it, but he doesn't throw it very well. That could also be said about Spencer Sanders at times.
Mm-hmm.
And then the former four-star prospect Walker Howard transferred from LSU in. So there's three pretty high-level quarterbacks there that are going to be competing for that job. That's good news for Lane Kiffin. I'm just thinking from Spencer Sanders' side, you might have picked a less crowded. But he committed there knowing that the kid from LSU had already committed and
right.
Jackson Dart's still there. So obviously he feels confident about his ability to go win that job. I just don't think you would transfer this late in your career to maybe be a backup. I mean, you're going to go somewhere where even if you have to drop down a little bit.
Absolutely.
You're going to go play, at least in my mind. But that's Spencer Sanders' call. I thought that was a little bit surprising, but that's where he is going to head. And we know Oklahoma State, who seems to be in complete rebuild mode right now, we know they've had like 20 players into the portal. A lot of them were starters and very productive players for them, including Spencer Sanders. They have added Alan Bowman. Remember the former Texas Tech quarterback who transferred off to Michigan? He's come back. He's going to likely be the starting quarterback in Stillwater.
Yeah, he'll be throwing to himself.
But, man, that from Oklahoma State, from remember they're from the Big 12 championship game just two Big 12 championships ago, couldn't get it in from the goal line from six plays to win the championship. That program seems to have slid back a long way from nearly a championship to where they are right now. They've lost a lot of talent through the portal. Mike Gundy seems to be a little bit adrift right now with that program, and we'll see. They were, you know, Baylor in the same boat right now. The two teams who played in that Big 12 title
game,
you know, Baylor with Dave Aranda have slid back a little bit too, and it feels like Texas.
Yeah,
and
I gotta believe K-State, Baylor will be playing a bunch of young kids.
Yeah,
the kids that they've recruited over the last 2 years will be absolutely playing now.
Yeah,
they have to.
Yeah, we've talked about Texas being, you know, one of the absolute favorites in the Big 12 this year. And if they add A.D. Mitchell, I mean, gosh, I mean, the receiver room is stacked. You're bringing 10 of 11 starters back on offense. You're going to add a wide receivers coach. The defense got Jalen. I mean, everything that the defense needed to hear, they've gotten back from when Tavondre Sweat announced he's coming back.
And they've added more depth in that secondary.
Yeah, I mean, when Tavondre Sweat, who could have gone off to the NFL – and probably been a third-day pick, but early third day. He's coming back to anchor the defensive line. Jalen Ford has announced he's coming back. And you mentioned the back end, the two potential starters that they've added through the portal in Jalen Catalan from Arkansas and the kid from Wake Forest, the two-year starter at Wake Forest at corner to provide depth back there. There's a lot to like about this Texas football team, and we're calling it the No Excuses Tour for the Longhorns. Just get after it. No excuses to not play in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, I wish I had the wide receiver. Like I said, I wish I had the wide receiver coach in place so that, I mean, you can work with them, work with these guys, especially during these winter workouts where you get to really, really know them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Jacksonville loses, the wide receiver coach could be here pretty early
next
week.
I'll be here Monday.
Yeah, Tuesday of next week maybe,
yeah.
If indeed Chris Jackson is the guy. And, all evidence points towards that, at least through the reporting and where it stands right now.
I mean, so, you make an offer, or he's already had an offer he's just saying, let me finish out my job here. I'll be there.
Yeah, that's his commitment, and
yeah.
He should. You'd be disappointed if he didn't. Same time, This is a junior weekend, but clearly something is in the works in that front. Also, well, we'll come back. When we come back, I'll get you this because there's been reporting. We talk about the Longhorns, and Sark also was going to hire a new high school football liaison, right? That kind of liaison through the high school coaches and the Texas football office. There's a local name who has floated to the top who may be getting that job. We'll get you details on that, and he's a familiar name to us. We'll dive into that conversation. We'll also pick up the divisional playoff weekend. Here we go. 4 games, 2 days. Let's go. Let's get after it. We'll preview. Plus, Craig has his report in this hour as we get you going on a Friday. Get them on up and get them on out on B&E.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
I'm mad. Get down with my girlfriend. Got it right.
Friday on the Horn, having fun with you. Also, sending prayers and rest in peace thoughts to David Crosby, Buck. David Crosby. I'm assuming you were a Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young fan.
Absolutely. That dude made it to be 81 years old.
81 years old.
That is a big surprise. That's the gift of life for sure for him.
No kidding. What a voice, what a songwriter, and of course the Birds in the 60s, and then Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and all the hits with that super group. And still making music late into his career.
That dude has been rehabilitated on many occasions.
Yes, he has. Born David Van Cortlandt Crosby in Los Angeles, California, 81 years ago, passed away yesterday. Rest in peace to David Crosby.
Absolutely.
Take your thoughts there. Maybe play some Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young tunes this morning as we get you going on this Friday morning. As I said, it's going to be mostly cloudy today, but no rain. Rain could come tomorrow. A lot of sunshine this weekend, Buck. And Longhorns looking for some sunshine. A.D. Mitchell, the Georgia transfer, apparently already on campus, already visiting the Longhorns. We will keep you posted on that front and all the Longhorn news as it comes. I mentioned on the way to the timeout that Sark has got some spots to fill. They're still trying to add a couple pieces through the portal, actually one more. A.D. Mitchell would likely be the final player headed into the winter workouts if they were able to land him out of Georgia. But also on their coaching staff, right, there's the wide receivers coach, which we went through. It looks like it's the Jacksonville Jaguars' current wide receivers coach, their number one target. They're waiting on the Jags season to wrap up. Also, there's a position – two positions on the coaching, the what do we call it? It's not the coaching staff, but the actual, program staff.
Yeah.
One was posted that is a special assistant to the head coach that all the reports are is going to be an offensive consultant, offensive advisor, much like Gary Patterson has been for the defense. I'm not sure who that's going to be. But then there's also the high school liaison. They had Chris Gilbert as their guy between the program and the high school coaches in the state of Texas. And he took a job on a coaching staff at North Texas.
They wanted to be a coach.
Right. So that was his step, and that opened the position. Now the name you're hearing is Jamal Fenner at LBJ. LBJ head coach Jamal Fenner is a name that's been prominently mentioned as a potential hire for Sark as he's trying to build relationships here in Central Texas with the top prospects here, but also high school coaches all over the state. And there's also been reporting that Sark plans to have two high school liaison coaches, because you can hire as many people
certain,
as you can afford.
Oh, yeah, well, you can afford it. You can do it.
Like, the Jamal Fenner hire could be in coincide with the hiring of a similar coach from the Houston area.
Yes.
Who would help with that area. So, again, if you can afford to pay them, which Texas can, you can have as many people in your front office as you want. And the Longhorns looking to add pieces there, a la what Nick Saban has done at Alabama. Sark is going to copy that, what Kirby Smart has done at Georgia.
Still with a position opened up for, like you said, offensive help, too.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
That's the DA coach.
The dumbass coach.
Yeah.
Hey,
what are you doing over there, dumbass?
Safe to say Gary Patterson had a pretty nice impact on the defense. I mean, we
yes, he did. The DA coach on defense was absolutely fantastic this year.
And there's still question whether Gary plans to be back. He's still with the program right now. But there is question whether he plans to stick for the whole another full year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Him. I mean, if he doesn't stick, I see him retiring.
Yeah.
Just that's it. That's plenty.
Well, I say yeah, but at the same time, He's only not even 60. He's what, 63? I got to think there's got to be, if there's a fire still burning in Gary Patterson, to see the program he built, you know, under Sonny Dykes' leadership in 1 year playing for a national championship, that would tell me I can still identify players. I'm still developing players. I got to get back to connecting with my players and you know, stay on board with football. I thought it was interesting that in the interview he did with Sports Illustrated leading up to the TCU national championship game with Georgia, he said, I came to Texas to learn, like almost to watch others do it for a little bit and kind of just see how others are operating. Maybe you get caught in your own ways and, you know, to see it done other ways and learn, you know, what PK's up to on defense and what Sark's doing to the offense and how you run the program. I don't know. I mean,
it's a good move by Gary if that's his plan, because as Bob Dylan said, the times they are changing. So,
ooh.
I mean, you got to get back to, you know, some of the things that you forgot about when you became head coach and those personal, you know, those personal contacts you have with your players. You're too busy doing administrative things.
That's right.
Now he had a chance to get back to the personal part of it and the, you know, the grassroots of what made him a good coach. So maybe that fires him back up, or maybe he just, you know, maybe that time has just run out too.
It's possible. I mean, he's early.
I mean, he's
to
got
mid-60s.
Older kids now. I mean, he's going to have like little kids running around.
And there's
got
to be a job, right? Two students.
That's
to
true.
Tango, and right now
it's
got to
be
job,
and it's the right job.
Yeah, the jobs are full at this point. Yeah, you wonder if Gary comes back for another year. They are going to hire another person on the offensive side similar to that role, and I've heard some names, but I'm not sure which way they're going. That has not been announced yet. We're following that story as well. Hope my tax dollars not paying for this front office bureaucracy. No, that's all. Athletic department, football, they pay for themselves. Pay for themselves.
Yes.
Over at the University of Texas. All right, so we'll talk on that. Also, the divisional playoff weekend is on tap. So I might remind you, David Crosby is Melissa Etheridge's baby daddy.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Melissa Etheridge, great
singer. From back in the day.
Yeah, I think she was the person who announced the news that he had passed away. I think that came down yesterday. But there you go. Hey, let's bring in T.Y., our producer, Ty Henderson, who is fully on board with the Dallas Cowboys pulling the upset on Sunday afternoon. You're not as optimistic, Buck, nor am I. Ty, what's your level of confidence on a Friday, 2 days out to the ninth all-time or ninth all-time meeting between the Niners and Cowboys in the playoffs?
8.5 out of 10.
8.5 out of 10.
What is going to take you over the top over the next 48 hours that'll make you just go over the top? Yes, it's the Cowboys. What I know, there's nothing that anybody can say sports-wise, you know, TV, radio, whatever is going to take you. What is it in your mind that you're weighing right now?
I'm not worried about Brock Purdy. I'm not going to be. I'm worried about how physical their defense is.
There you go. There's one.
Defensive front in particular who dominated
on that
the Cowboys.
On that offensive line, it's hurt late in the season.
Well, they're back to being healthy beyond Jason Peters, which, I mean, he hasn't been a full-time starter all year, so that's not that big of a loss. But I think this offensive line is better than they were last year when this matchup was played out in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Connor Williams is not there anymore. He left. He's in Miami. You know, but I'm still not the biggest Connor McGovern fan. I thought when you had Tyler Smith, the rookie at guard next to Jason Peters, I thought you had something going on the left side there, physicality wise, size, and then that allowed you to move Tyron Smith over to right tackle, he's still kind of getting his bearings over
there.
But again, this is not the defensive line to be, you know, shuffling people in my mind, because they dominated you 1 year ago in the playoffs, and they're tremendous up front. I mean, they don't.
Yeah, because I don't want to see the Cowboys have to go just fundamentally doing things offensively, because that's not how they're going to win. They have to go outside the box. Pollard has to be out there. You're going to have to vacate spots when you're pulling guys and doing things. That's what's scary late in the season, where you don't have 2 weeks to prepare for. You know, you got two games, and now we got the 49ers. No, it's this week.
This is going to be the big Pollard game. I'm sticking on that take.
Tony,
are you?
Pollard. I like that. Well, look, I mean, it seems like Cowboys fans who, yet last week when you were telling them all they're going to win by 10 and they were saying, no, we're not, we're terrible, we're not any good, it's almost like they've forgotten the team that we saw in December and then against Washington. Like, that team still exists. And that's why I pointed out all week that the Buccaneers being so lame helped aid how good the Cowboys looked on Monday night.
They couldn't have played a better team to get well.
But are they well? Or do they just play a lame team that was ready for their season to end? We'll find out Sunday.
Well, I think they took chances and got away with those chances. I don't know if they'll get away with San Francisco, but at least they tried,
right,
and they worked.
The same people who were so pessimistic about the Cowboys have all of a sudden flipped it. It's like, wait a second. All the month of December, Ty, when we talked about the Cowboys, you were worried about Dak. You're not worried about Dak anymore? because he had a good game against the defense.
I like Dak as an underdog.
Okay, but this is a really good defense that leads the NFL in interceptions.
No, he's going to throw an interception.
Okay, he does hold his. He holds his one. Okay, I got that. Yes. That's fine.
But I think Brock Purdy throws at least one, too. So
yeah, well,
offset.
Well, he's thrown four in his seven starts now, or six. This will be his seventh start.
Dak's thrown 200.
Yeah. We said it at the end of the show yesterday. I think my overall mindset on this game is the Cowboys are they're talented enough. They're just not as talented as the 49ers.
Yes.
They're talented enough. They're really a good team. They're right there. I just think the Niners are just a little bit better. But to Ty's point, if the offensive line plays a good game, Tony Pollard gets it going, and
if the offensive line plays a good game, I think they win. That's all I need. If I felt like the offensive line, even though all those changes are being made, if they play well, I think if they do that, I think they do win. I think that's the one.
And it's really why they lost last year.
Yeah.
In large measure. They couldn't block the 49ers' basic four-man rush, and they couldn't run the ball, that is what the offseason was about, getting more physical. And if they do hold up and Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott do get going, which keeps you in good, down and distance and ahead of the chains and you're controlling the line of scrimmage, if that happens, you're right. They absolutely can win this game because they do have the – whatever we think of Brock Purdy to be Dak Prescott, that's an advantage Cowboys.
And
Cowboys have the advantage of quarterback.
And the eliteness of what they do offensively. Dallas is good on defense. Dallas has good players on defense. They're
very good.
That season, the whole season shows you, if you take them for the whole season, that's a good defensive team.
Yeah, and Leighton Vander Esch is back at middle linebacker.
Which
like
means
that
an
a
awful
lot.
I like that a lot.
It does. But again, let's not let one game against Tampa on Monday night overshadow December.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
Remember when teams were picking apart that secondary opposite Trayvon Diggs? They'll still do that. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's not going to go away from that. Cowboys defense over the last five games of the regular season allowed one of the highest QBRs to every quarterback they played.
Yeah, and if there's anybody I'm going to take a chance on is going after the Dallas secondary, even if it's Brock Purdy. With the wide receivers that they have, yes, for sure.
And yesterday on the show, late in the show, we talked to Mac Engel from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and I thought he made a good point. Trayvon Diggs is a Pro Bowl corner, but he hates to tackle. He's not physical. This team will make your corners tackle in space. They will put Deebo Samuel out there. They will get Christian McCaffrey out there on the perimeter, and your corners have to be willing to come up, take on a block, and tackle somebody.
Yeah, but to me, as long as they got number six still in there on defense for the Cowboys, and if 27 is playing, I'm good.
Yeah, well, they ran a lot of that big nickel last week where they had three safeties in.
Yeah, number six
Hooker,
is good.
Curse.
He's not
and
all
Wilson.
That big,
There's
but
Donovan
that dude
Wilson.
Will stick. Donovan Wilson will get after you.
He will. I mean, I love their safety play.
He's like a linebacker.
I like their safety play a lot. I'm not huge on the corner play, especially if they're not going to test Trayvon. Well, here's what they'll do to Trayvon Diggs. They'll force him to tackle A and be physical, which is a very physical team in San Francisco.
Well, they're going to make him be disciplined in the secondary,
right? And they'll
for
try
sure.
to take advantage of his aggressiveness, looking to jump picks and try to take a deep ball on him. And that doesn't even count who's on the other side.
Right.
They're going to attack that.
Yeah, McCaffrey's going out of the backfield up the sideline, and if somebody's not disciplined, he's just going to streak down the sideline.
If you have Trayvon Diggs, number seven, following Deebo Samuel wherever he goes, traveling with him, Brandon Ayuk's a good receiver.
Yes,
number 11's a really good receiver. And who is the next corner for the Cowboys? That becomes a huge question for me. I just think the Cowboys have more questions than the Niners do. The only question for the Niners is their quarterback, right? That's the only real question mark they have. Everything else is answered in huge check marks.
But you got to take a chance somewhere. And
right.
He's the guy I think they take a chance with and saying, let's go after the secondary.
Yeah, I agree with you. And make them tackle, make them be physical. And Kyle Shanahan's taking a team to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. I give the coaching advantage overall to Kyle Shanahan. Until Mike McCarthy takes the Cowboys team to the Super Bowl and shows he can coach to the elite level.
He's won a Super Bowl.
But
not with
12
that.
Years ago. 13 years
Kyle
ago.
Kyle Shanahan hasn't won one.
He was in it 2 years ago with Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback against the Chiefs. He beat the Cowboys a year ago and made a run to the NFC Championship game and barely lost to the Rams in the NFC title game. We're talking about recent. Kyle Shanahan has gotten it done and gotten teams to a lot further than the Cowboys have gone. So, again, if you're making me say who has the edge, I got to go Kyle Shanahan. Have to over Mike McCarthy. I think before it's Monday night, every Cowboy fan in America would agree with this. Now, all of a sudden, they beat a bad Tampa team, and now, Mike McCarthy's back. Okay, we'll see. We'll see Sunday.
Sunday. I like it. Once again, I think the edge, I'm still going to give the edge to Dak Prescott.
Agreed.
Quarterback?
Without a doubt.
Quarterback. There, if there's anybody apt to really not just make one mistake, but enough mistakes to get you beat, I think it's got to be Purdy right now still.
What about running back? Who do you get the advantage to?
Cowboys. I mean, 49ers, without a doubt.
Yeah, I would give it to the 49ers.
With McCaffrey and Mitchell?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, Christian McCaffrey is one of the best 3-4 running backs in this league, and he's healthy.
And we've seen if the Cowboys, if the run game gets going on the Cowboys, what that'll look like, was, and then that'll open up all that weird play action and everything that they do. Cowboys will have to stop the run game for sure.
All right.
But once again, I like number six. He's like a linebacker to me. That guy's played well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They pushed out Bland to the boundary corner.
Sure.
And then they brought in an extra safety. And I think that worked better than anything they've done with, you know, Kelvin Joseph or Xavier. They ended up playing Xavier Rhodes at the end of the game just to try to get him in.
Well, one thing that Diggs will do, he will try to tackle you. I don't think he shies away from contact. He's just not very big. What is he like? He looks like he weighs.
He's like 6'3". He's just skinny.
He plays like
receiver still.
But he bounces off. But he does go and throw his body in. I think he makes a lot of those grab you by the leg tackles. He will get run over. But he's not afraid. He's not afraid to tackle. He's not a great tackler. I don't see him as a guy who's afraid.
He doesn't break down.
He's a grab and hold on and get dragged another 4 yards, another 6 yards. And that's kind of the way. But I don't think he shies away from him, but they will attack him. If Debo's got it, he is going to throw his shoulder into him. He's not trying to run. Debo's a running back.
He's going to run him over. Adrian Peterson coming at you from the outside when he gets out there. Look, clearly, all week long, if you listen, you can tell. I'm not taking a lot from the Tampa game because I didn't think Tampa was very good. I'm still considering the Cowboys team that I saw all through December and into January. That team still lives there. There are still weaknesses that are not all gone because you beat a lame Tampa team.
And that's them stopping the run game. You stopping the Tampa run game means nothing to me.
Right. They couldn't run the ball all year.
Do you think they have enough talent to win a Super Bowl this year, the Cowboys?
If they win this game, they do.
Yes, they do.
If they win this game, yes. But I don't think they're going to win this game.
I think they can be filling anybody else in their way, including Buffalo, Kansas City. They'll be right in it.
Well, see, I would still favor the Chiefs or the Bills against the Cowboys in a Super Bowl game, neutral site, with 2 weeks to prepare, but that's just me.
This will tell you an awful lot. They win this game, I think they have a real chance to win the Super Bowl.
And we'll get to see the Eagles again tomorrow. Tomorrow. What do they look like? Haven't really seen the Eagles have to win a football game and play with that level of intensity since mid-December.
But guys, Dak owes us one, which means that possibly could be two.
If he owes us one,
that means there could be two.
A little late. Let's get a timeout. We'll come back, pick up these conversations. Divisional playoffs, only 7 NFL games left for this weekend. Let's preview them all morning long. Take your thoughts, the upsets, the wins, the locks, all coming back here on B&E. First, it's Craig.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys make me laugh, really. Every time you come up with these text messages, hey, that's why they play the game. Well, okay, what do we live under, a rock? We've been around football and sports for a long, long time. We're just trying to break it down from all different aspects. And we know they play the game. Yes, the game will be played and the outcome, there will be an outcome. But we understand. But we're talking about both sides of this. And for those that are saying, well, the 49ers, you know, were getting torched by Seattle last week. And guess who the NFC Pro Bowl quarterback is? Isn't that Geno Smith, by the way? He's pretty good. He had a pretty good football season.
Better than Dak.
Yeah, really.
30 touchdowns. Top completion percentage in that conference, one of the top in the conference.
Yeah, they play the game. We understand that.
And he's throwing to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and you know, he had his running back. Ken Walker might be the all rookie running back. I mean, that's not a bad team in Seattle. They have ways to go, but just because
I like the direction.
16 points.
I like
the
direction
game of
where the Cowboys are going, Ty. But is this the year? I mean, it feels different. It does.
To me, I mean,
Ty, we talk every morning, and then people hear you every morning. I don't know why Monday night has completely flipped you from being pretty anti to all of a sudden everything is solved.
I was more scared of Tom Brady than I am of the 49ers as a whole.
Well, maybe that's where we would disagree, because I would be more scared of this entire roster and coaching staff than just Tom Brady, because Tom Brady clearly.
I mean, it's not like I think this is like a guaranteed win or anything.
No, okay, well, good. I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to go in with a high.
No, you can be confident. Because I do think this is going to be a heck of a game. I think it has a chance to be the best game of the weekend. I don't by any means think it's going to be a one-sided contest because the Niners are beatable, but they are very good and they're very well coached, and that's good. The Cowboys have to try to deal with. Hey, coming up, didn't take long. AD Mitchell already on campus for Texas. We'll get you details. Can the Longhorns get a commitment out of the Georgia transfer pretty quick here. Also, Arch Manning. Arch Manning's already taken to social media, which he doesn't do very often, to weigh in on his first 2 weeks living in Austin, Texas. We'll get you details on that. And Uh-oh, Buck. We've got National DJ Day. People still call us DJs sometimes, you know that?
I know they do.
Which is disc jockeys. I know it's even people in my own family. Hey, are you still doing that DJ thing?
How's that DJ thing going?
Like, Aunt Patty or whatever, I don't play music. We don't play disc. Is that what that disc jockey, right?
Yes.
You grew up with disc jockeys.
I did, yes.
Now we have real DJs. Like big time digital DJs all over the world.
But now, we couldn't do that gig.
No, could not.
No.
Now, you spun the hits. Remember we used to play music on the station?
Absolutely.
And you were the DJ?
I spun those hits.
You don't remember that, Ty?
I do not.
Yeah, we used to do morning show, afternoon show, when Bucky would play music in the middle.
Getting it done. The oldies.
But I don't think it was
oldies
as good.
The goodies.
By the way, where that background music on your Relax the Back commercial?
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
Where did they get that?
It's good stuff. Like,
that's some of Dave's secret
hits. Oh, my gosh. It's like elevator music meets yacht rock.
Dave's got the vault in there for sure.
This says E Road with Brady. No, I did not. I picked the Cowboys on Monday night.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Picked the Cowboys. Monday Night Football.
We're not quite there, though.
Made a bet on it, as a matter of fact.
I don't know if I'm getting close.
Winner, winner.
Because I don't think Ty's totally there. I think if Ty's not there.
I'm there.
No, you're not.
I'm there.
No, you're not. Not like you were. No, you're not there.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn.